Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said in verse number 19 of Luke chapter number 16, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The Bible said in verse number 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Now, I want to preach to you this morning for just a little while on the subject of hell. Father, I love you today. God, we stand in a place where in the arm of the flesh we'll do nothing but fail today. God, I realize that with my own ability, I'm an absolute zero with the ring knocked off of it. But God, July the 24th, 1996, you called me to preach the word. Father, I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you would get me out of the way. I pray, God, that people wouldn't hear me, but God, that they would hear you through me today. Father, you said in your word that if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. So I pray, God, that as I preach today, we would lift you up. Father, you said that your word would not return void. So God, I pray that as I preach today, that it would not be my words, but that I would preach your word, because that is what will not return void. I pray, God, that out of a crowd this size, that if there would be anybody here lost, that today would be the day of salvation for them, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to see the reality of a place called hell. And God, that if we die lost without you, that's exactly where we'll spend eternity, based on the authority of your word. Help us, Lord, today. I pray, God, that you'd remove every demonic power, God, that would hinder the service. God, you said in Revelation that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They love not their lives even unto death. God, we plead the blood of Calvary over the service today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You could be seated this morning. I was reading this week, and I read this story. Let me give it to you. It said Thomas Huxley, a 19th century anthropologist and agnostic, was rushing to catch a train in Dublin. He climbed aboard a horse-drawn carriage and said, hurry, I'm almost late, drive fast. The driver set off at a furious pace as Huxley sat back and closed his eyes. After a while, Huxley opened his eyes and glanced out the window to notice that they were going in the wrong direction. Realizing he hadn't told the driver where to take him, he said, "Do you know where you're going?" The driver replied, "No, Your Honor, but I'm driving very fast." The writer went on to say this, "Unfortunately, this is the reality we are living in today's society. Life today is lived at a fast pace and is full of activities, but it is a life lived without direction. And whether people know it or not, everyone is headed somewhere in the end. At the end is either heaven or hell. Whether they want to acknowledge it or not, based on the authority of God's word, at the end of our life is either heaven or hell." The Bible said this to us today, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible said, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away." Our life is flying by at a rapid pace today. I believe that we could all agree, now I know this is going to sound comical, but we could all agree that we're the oldest that we've ever been. And some could say they're the baldest and the biggest that they've ever been, but we are the oldest that we've ever been. And if we look back over our life, Brother Tim, it seems like yesterday that TJ was a little teenage boy going ice skating with us, and now he's married and he's got children of his own and he's having a career of his own, and it seems like that was yesterday. Our life is flying by. And so many times in the hustle and the bustle of this life, we never take into consideration about life after death. There will be life after death. It'll not be a physical body, but inside every body is a soul today. And our soul will live on for eternity in one of two places, either heaven or hell. Now, you've heard me say this many, many times, but hear me again. When it comes to the Word of God, there must be an element of faith in studying our Bible today. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There must come a time in your life that you accept this printed page today as the divine authority of the Word of God. Our Bible is what now. Now, let me back up and rephrase it. The Bible is what I base my life off of. I can't say that about you. I don't know about you, but I base my life off of the Word of God. Here's the reason why. It has proven to be true. The Bible has proven to be true. You look at what's happening in foreign countries today and read the Word of God, it's all in there. And the Bible has proven to be true. So when it comes to the Word of God, there must be an element of faith that we believe it is what God says it is. Now, when we come to the story in Luke chapter number 16, many people confuse verse 19 through 31 as a parable in the Word of God. Can I just say this to you today? Number one, it's not a parable. Number two, the reason we know it's not a parable today is because in no parables will you find a name that is mentioned. Verse number 19 through verse 31 is a true account of an interview with a man in hell. And I think that we can look at it today and see a lot of things about the place called hell. Let me give you two or three and we'll go home. Number one, I want you to see this about hell today. Hell is a created place. Hell is a created place. If you go back, and I don't have time to preach all of this, but if you go back and study the Word of God, you'll find that there was a man by the name of Lucifer that we know as Satan today that was in heaven one day. And matter of fact, he was over the music in heaven, if you want to study it out. There come a time that Satan or Lucifer wanted to be God. He wanted to overtake the kingdom. He wanted to overtake heaven. He wanted to be the one on the throne. And you'll find that God kicked him out of heaven that day. And according to Matthew chapter number 25, the Bible said this, that hell was created, but watch this, for the devil and his angels. Hell was not created for you, and hell was not created for me. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the fire was kindled in the anger of God. God created hell, and he created hell, according to the Bible, for the devil and his angels. You say, well, why in the world does God send men to hell? God has never sent men to hell. Men chooses to reject the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they choose to reject the blood and what Jesus has done for them, then they choose in their power to turn their back on God and go to hell. If you die and go to hell out of this service today, you'll die and go to hell rejecting Jesus Christ. Hell was created, and it wasn't created for me. It wasn't created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. And here's what happens when you reject Christ. You side with Satan. Can I just say it that way? You side with Satan. You agree with him. You take up, you could say it this way, you practically take up an oath with him, and you side against God and Calvary. So number one, hell was created. Number two, think about this with hell. I'm going to preach quick this morning. Number two, think about this. Hell is comfortless today. Hell is comfortless today. Know what your Bible said in verse number 23. The Bible said, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Being in torments. Look in verse number 24. The Bible said in the latter portion of verse 24, I am tormented in this flame. Look again in the latter portion of verse number 25. And thou art tormented. Hell is a comfortless place today. That word torment, I began to study it out, tormented, and it means this, intense pain and anguish. Now, I began to think about this, what is the worst pain in hell today? I thought about and you can study. You know that he has pain. Right here we see that in these verses. You know that he has thirst. We see that in these verses. You know that he can see. You know that he can hear. His senses are there. But what is the worst pain of hell today? Here's what I thought about. It's probably his mind. You see, he said to him, son, remember. Son, remember. The rich man can remember everything. He says that he is tormented. He is in intense pain or anguish. We was talking about the mind this week. I was talking about it with several different people. I was talking to a young 19-year-old man that was involved in an incident this week. And I was sitting there talking to him, and we began to talk about the mind and how the mind does crazy things. You know, there's times, Brother Lloyd, when our mind's in a bad shape and we can read the Word of God and we find comfort. We begin to pray or a song will come on. Jesus rescues me, and we find comfort in that. Somebody will come alongside of us and If you ever just got a text from somebody that just says something that is similar to this, you're on my mind, I'm praying for you, I appreciate you, I love you. And boy, it came just right at the right time, and it's comfort to you. Now, I say something about hell today, it's a place of comfortless. There's no comforting in hell. Can I say something to you today? The devil's not going to walk up to you in hell and hand you a bottle of water and say, let's take a break from the torment. No, but now in hell, if we could roll back the center of the earth, there is a rich man that is screaming out in hell because of the agony that he is in. It's a comfortless place. There's no comfort in hell. I thought about this number three, stay with me. Hell is a place of coming apart. Let me show it to you. Look in verse number 26. And besides all this, he's talking about the torments and being tormented. Know what he says, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. It's a place of, I would use this word, separation, or a place of coming apart. In other words, once you're there, you're apart from everything else. Once you're there, there is no coming back. And there's many religions today that believes that once you die, you can go to a place called purgatory. And once you get there, if your family prays for you enough, they can pray you into heaven. You say, what do you say about that, Preacher Barker? I'll give you some good low-gap terms on that. Hogwash. It ain't gonna happen. They believe that if you work hard enough here, that maybe you'll make it in to a little bit of heaven or this or that. You hear me and hear me well. There's heaven and there's hell. And if you die lost without God, you'll die and go to hell and you'll be there for eternity. It's coming apart. There's no getting out. There's no going back. You may say, well, preacher, I've read the Bible, and the Bible talks about that great white throne judgment where they're going to be brought up out of hell and stand in the presence of God and then being cast back into hell. Here's what C.H. Spurgeon said about that. Hell will be a relief compared to standing in the presence of an angry God. Because when you stand before Him that day at the great white throne judgment as a lost man, I want you to hear me. All of His wrath is going to be placed upon you, and you will be cast back into hell we really can't even say for eternity, because that makes it sound like they may be an end to it. But you're going to be cast back into hell eternally. There's no getting out. It's a place of coming apart. You think about everyone. You say, well, preacher, you know what? If my buddy's there, when I get there, we'll be able to talk. I don't see nowhere where the rich man's talking about his buddies. I don't see nowhere where the rich man's sitting back and he's popped open a can of beer and he's having a party in hell. I'm telling you what hell is today. It's a place that's comfortless, that was created for the devil and his angels. And if you die and go to hell today, it's a place of coming apart. There's no getting out. There's no turning back. It's not going to happen. Watch this. If we could look into hell today, number four, watch this. Hell is a place of concern. Hell is concerned about you today. Do you hear what I just said? Brother Todd McKeon's preached for us several times, and me and Brother Todd McKeon talked a while this morning, and we was talking about this fact right here, this concern right here, and a lot of times I'll bounce ideas off of him and he'll bounce ideas off of me because we don't want to preach the Bible out of context. Somebody say amen. But I don't believe we're taking it out of context to say hell is concerned. I can prove it to you. Listen to the rich man. The Bible said this, verse number 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Well, Father Abraham responds to him. We know that he don't because he couldn't. And he never asked for mercy anymore upon himself. Now go with me to verse number 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He said, if you're not going to help me because I'm already in hell, I want you to go to daddy's house. And watch this, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. That was the second time he prayed for his brothers. He only prayed for himself one time. But when it come to his family, he prayed for them twice. You said, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. He's concerned about his family. He's concerned about his family. He's concerned about his brothers coming to this place called hell. He's concerned. Why? Because he's there and he's experiencing it. You see, it's one thing to hear about something. Are you with me? It's one thing to see something on a video. It's one thing to... I remember in the mid-90s, we went to Jamaica in the mid-90s. And I had heard Brother David Finley talk about people living in cardboard houses. And I had heard of the poverty where we was going. We flew into Montego Bay, got off the plane in Montego Bay, and some of y'all, I'm sure, have been there on cruises or on vacation. Man, it was beautiful. But you get about a half a mile outside of it, and it's a whole different world. We went to the little city, and I'll never forget seeing the kids in the condition they was in. Literally people living in cardboard houses. You see, once you experience it, are you understanding what I'm saying? It's one thing to see it, but once you go there, it's something altogether different. You know this, I love hiking. And I love what a lot of people call chasing waterfalls. And all the big waterfalls in North Carolina, it's on bucket list. Leslie and I's been to every one of them, man. And there's a place called DuPont National Forest that has numerous waterfalls in it, but several of them are on the bucket list. And when we came back from here, we was telling our kids, man, this place is beautiful, and you got to see this. And we showed them pictures, and we got to looking, and I'm going to be right there next to it on Saturday night. So I said, hey, look, we're going to make a big trip out of this. We'll go up early, and we're going to take y'all to DuPont National Forest. And when you see those waterfalls, you're going to understand what I'm saying. When you see it in person, when you experience, or you understand what I'm saying, it's something completely different. The rich man, I believe in all of my heart, has heard about hell. He knows about Moses and the prophets. You say, how does he know everything? You want my opinion? Lazarus has told him about God. I believe Lazarus is witness to him. I believe that in all of my heart. But once he got to hell, once he experienced hell, it was altogether different. What's he doing? He's screaming out, somebody go tell my family about God. Somebody, you know what? If any of your family's ever died and gone to hell and you're sitting here lost today, you know what they're doing in hell today? Somebody go tell my family about God. Somebody tell my family not to come down here. They don't want to be here. If we could hear the rich man today, he would say this, get saved, get saved, get saved. Trust the Lord as your Savior. You don't want to come to hell, man. Get saved. It's concerned. There is concern about you. There is concern about you. Can I ask you a question today? And I'm almost done, but can I ask you a question today? If something was to happen to you, the breath left your body over the next 10 minutes, and there's numerous people in here that's capable of working on you. We keep things here at the church. They'd grab an AED. They'd begin working on you. And if there's ever a good witness arrest, it would be here, because people could immediately start working on you, get an AED on you. But if they'd done everything they could, ambulance come, they pushed all the meds that they could, and they ended up ceasing CPR, and you went into eternity, where would you be? You see, we live our life at such a high pace that we never just stop a minute. We never just stop a minute. One reason that I enjoy the outdoors is because when I'm doing things in the outdoors, I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. And a lot of people hike or run with earbuds in, and I understand the concept behind that. I've read on it. It's so you don't hear yourself breathing and understand that you're out of breath, and it'll make you push yourself harder. But I don't. And the reason I don't is because I like to hear the birds. Are you with me? I like, if I'm walking by the river, I like to hear the water running down the river. If it's coming on this time of the year, I like to hear those old spring gobblers. Somebody say amen right there. As they strike out and thunder out. I love to hear them hens cluck as they're walking around. I love to hear the outdoors. But so many times in our life, we're living at such a high pace that, listen to this right here. This is something that we never hear. You ready? One, two, three. And the soberness that comes with that. So as we stop for just a minute, if that was your last breath when you'd done that, where would you be? So, preacher, I'm not sure. Well, I'm glad that I am sure. I have no doubt. I have no doubt. Miss Gloria, whenever, I don't preach wide open all the time, but whenever I really preach a wide open message, Miss Gloria will always come out, and she'll look at me and she'll point that little finger at me, and she'll say this: I told you one day you're going to die up there. And I always point my finger back and go, what a way to go. Where would you be? I'm glad that I can say I would be in heaven. You see, Miss Stephanie, you care to come start playing just real softly. Miss Stephanie, will you go to Romans chapter number 5? Let me read you something. Can I read you something? Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1 says this. If you'll give me about 5 minutes, I'm going to be done. Therefore, being justified. That word justified means to pardon. To accept as righteous on account of the merits of the Savior. Can I just say that again? Justified means to pardon, to set free. Amen. To accept as righteous on account of the merits of the Savior. Not on my account, but on His account. He goes on to say this: wherefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse number 6, the Bible says this: for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet part adventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Boy, I love verse number 8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Look in verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The Bible also says this in chapter number 6. For the wages of sin is death. The wages, what did he say? He said, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He goes on to say in verse number 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Look in verse number 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. Listen, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Right here is one of the greatest verses you'll ever read. But where sin abound, grace did much more. Hallelujah. Abound. Listen to what he says in verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, what did I tell you? For the wages of sin is death. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto, underline these two words, eternal life. You cannot take that out of the Bible. There's a group of preachers that preaches eternal life is not right. They're ignorant and do not know the Word of God. I just read it to you. You can say amen or oh me. Right there it is. You can't take that out. He said righteousness unto eternal life by not me doing good works, by Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the one that gave us eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, hell was created. Hell is comfortless. Hell is a place where we come apart. Hell is a place of concern. But can I say this to you for sake of alliteration today? Hell is a place you can be cut loose from. You see, you don't have to die and go to hell today. I said this, hell is concerned, but I can also say this, heaven is concerned. Just as I said, family that died and went to hell is screaming out, get saved. If you've got family members that's died and went to heaven, you know what they're screaming out today? Get saved. if there's anything that heaven and hell agree on today, it's this fact. They want you to be saved. They don't want you to die and go to hell. They want you to accept what Jesus Christ has done. Yes, we're all sinners. Yes, we're all condemned to hell. Yes, because of sin, we're all sinners today. But aren't you thankful that he said, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. You don't have to die and go to hell today. You don't have to reject Jesus today. There's a God that loves you enough. He gave his only begotten Son, and Jesus gave his life willingly. The wages of sin has been paid. Jesus has paid the debt. All you have to do is accept it. That's it. You can be cut loose from the penalty of sin today, which is hell. Now, I ask you this question again. Are you saved? Let me ask you this. Is what you got good enough to die with? I love my dad today. And I love my mom today. I believe that if there's anybody in the world saved, my mama is. You say, well, what about your daddy? Well, I believe he is too, but I believe more in mamas because she's put up with him all these years and not killed him. I believe my mom and daddy's saved. I believe that. My daddy's in South Carolina this morning. I appreciate you that prayed for my mom. She had surgery on Friday, and she's doing good. And she told me, she said, if I could fix my hair this morning, I'd come to church. And I said, Mom, just stay home. Rest. Take care of yourself. But I'm going to tell you the truth today. I'm going to tell you the truth. If my mama was standing right here today, and death walked through the door, and death walked up to me and said, I'm taking you. In 30 seconds, I'm taking you. Life's over. I'm taking you. And God walked up beside of him and said, hey, look, here's what I'm going to do. Before you die, I'm going to give you a chance to switch salvation with your mama. You know what I'd do? I'd look at my mama and I'd hug her neck and I'd kiss her on the jaw. I'm 45 years old and I still kiss her on the jaw today. I'd kiss her on the jaw and I'd say something like this. I'll see you on the other side. And I'd look at God and I'd shake his hand and I'd say, thank you for giving me grace. And thank you for saving me. I don't need what she's got. I got my own. What I got, Brother Tim, is good enough to die with. That Tuesday morning in August, I'm just trying to be obedient to the Lord. I believe God wants to save somebody this morning. I believe that in all my heart. That Tuesday morning, I'd been sick for 2 weeks. I got up, I told Leslie, I said, we're going to have to go back to the hospital. Victoria didn't like that idea. And I told Leslie, I said, well, fix me some oatmeal. I'm going to try to eat it and take some medicine. I said, but if nothing changed, I said, I can't take this. I said, I don't know what's wrong, honey. I can't take this. And I tried my best to eat that oatmeal. It's the nastiest oatmeal I've ever tried to eat in my life. I ate so much of it during that time, I've just got addicted to it now. So I eat a bowl of oatmeal with about 7 teaspoons of honey in it every day, and it'll help you. But I got some of that oatmeal down, and I took some medicine, and I sat down on the couch, and after about 30 minutes, I told Leslie, I said, I don't know what, I said, something ain't right. Something's wrong. We got to go. I walked out of the house, and Victoria was sitting on the porch, or there in the carport on the step, and she was reading a book to Poe. because she didn't want to be inside. She was upset because I was sick. I kissed her on the head that morning. And I said, I love you. We got in the truck. And I looked up at the church. I know this is a little bit comical, but here's exactly what I thought. Man, I've worked 17 years to get to where we're at. We just finished that new building. Some joker that's been preaching 2 weeks, they're going to vote him in as pastor. He ain't worked for one bit of this. He ain't put one bit of blood, sweat, and tears in. You know, I still bear the marks and the pains of building this building in my body today. That's exactly what I thought to begin with. And then I really thought I was having a stroke. I thought, I'll never see this building again. I'll never see the people again. I'll never see my kids again. We got to the hospital. I don't even remember riding to the hospital. We got to the hospital and Leslie made me walk in by myself. She just took me to the door and kicked me out. I don't even remember walking in. But I remember the lady sitting at the desk. She's worked there for years. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she's worked there for years. She's just sweet as can be. She looked up at me and she said, "Preacher, something's wrong with you." And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "What is it?" I don't have a clue what I told her after that. I honestly, before I remember hardly anything much, it was the next night at Forsyth. I really, 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 really thought, Brother Robert, I really thought my life was over. I thought that was it. But there's one thing that I never thought about during that time. I never thought about getting saved. I never thought about, boy, I better make peace with God because I'm fixing to leave here. I thought I was leaving here. I really did. I thought it was over, Brother Ted. I thought I was having a stroke and life was over. You that don't know the story, I had meningitis. And I'm here. I made it, praise God. Some of y'all may not praise God for it, but I do. I made it. But I never, Brother Ted, I never one time thought in my mind, I need to get saved. I need to make things right with God. Let me tell you the reason why. Because I've been cut loose from the penalty of sin and from the penalty of hell. And it happened July the 20th, 1994. As a 16-year-old young man at youth camp at Turner's Creek Baptist Church, Miss Teresa, Brother Joe Arthur was preaching the meeting. And I'll never forget that night. I can't tell you everything I said, but I can tell you this, God made a change in my life. A lot of people say, "Preacher, I just don't know what all I said." I don't know what all I said either, but I do know this. When I was sitting in the pew, I knew I was dying and going to hell. And I jumped up and took off down the aisle. And let me tell you what I think happened the very moment I stood up. I believe God moved into my soul because in my heart right then, I was putting every bit of my faith, every bit of my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I saved. Are you saved? Is it good enough to die with? Hell's screaming out today with concern, but heaven is too. That family member in heaven saying, "Come join me. Don't go to hell. Come join me."